Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Better, just kind of clearing the airways. In fact, I'll do something a little bit different. I'm going to let the guys introduce themselves this evening, starting from left to right.
Evening, it's your regular horse, CV.
Hey. And to his right, Bushman's back.
Yeah, the return of Bushman. Yeah. For those who were
long time.
It has been quite a long time as well on here. How are you getting on, guys?
I'm fine myself. I've been just looking forward to contributing to this show. So let's get ready to go. Rumble, as they would say. Yeah. Rumble.
Well, I'm all right, me. I'm just tired. Finished my little week's work and just ready now for us. Let's get it on.
Yeah, you hear that? Let's get it on. Is anything what's been happening in the sporting world with your guys? Anything that you've what's caught your eye? You know, a bit of interest in that?
For me, it's the Paralympic Games, and I'm not being naughty or like disrespectful to them or anything like that, but we had the Olympics and everyone likes a hero. We all want heroes, even though they're juiced up on something. We all realize that, but we watched it, we were entertained. Then the Paralympics come and I've not watched not one of them, not one, and I don't intend to watch any of them because it's not my thing. I can understand family and friends doing it and watching it, and yeah, you want to big up their sport, but humans are selfish. We want heroes. And I'll just leave it as that.
Yeah, I think I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from because I've not watched loads of it, to be fair. And I tend to think it comes in like an afterthought.
Yeah.
It's like an afterthought.
Yeah.
You see, if they put it first, then you might get all the attention goes on it, I believe. But this comes in like, oh, it's like an afterthought after the Olympics.
And the thing what puts me off is there's too many categories. You've got this, you're looking at them and you're thinking, hold on. Sport is basic. You've got a winner and a loser. You've got two people like what are on the par levels. But all these different categories between them and that, it just puts you off. Because we are able-bodied.
Yes,
they're Paralympians. They're the Paralympians and that, and they've got their categories. So they're on par with each other. And for the layperson looking in, it puts us off.
Sometimes, because I was talking about that at work today, and they were saying, I don't get the swimming because you've got some athletes who have got maybe one arm and one leg, but then they're swimming against someone who's got maybe two legs and one arm. Mm, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And they were saying they didn't understand it. And I said, yeah, it's a bit complicated.
It's confusing. Yeah, it just puts the layperson off watching. If you're family and friends and you've got somebody who's in the Paralympic Games,
well then, yeah,
it's then different. You're going to support them.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And I think that's the main thing what's not going to make it mainstream. I'm putting the general public off. It's because these categories and that, we all want to just see basic raw sport. Two people, men or women, equally matched. But when they've got categories, this, you're looking at it like, and you're just so confused, you just think, end up saying, I'm not watching it. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, Mike seems a little bit tinny this evening. But anyway, stay with me on this, yeah? So, yeah, the Paralympics, I mean, I suppose I can feed into that because there's been kind of like scandals. You get scandals with able bodies and scandals with athletes with disabilities. So Paralympics aren't without controversy, really. So you've got, I'm going to say it's I think it's Ecuador, right? Apparently, some of their athletes aren't disabled.
No, they're like, there were a big controversy was under the intellectual disability. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. was the big controversy where some people like were actually saying, you know what I mean? I'm saying it how I say it, like how I speak. Like some people are saying they were dummies and they weren't dummies. They were like, you know what I mean? They were like, the IQ was like normal, like everybody else, and they were cheating and they got found out.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that was the biggest scandal. And they've only just reintroduced the intellectual disability in this year's like Paralympics because of that. You know what I mean? And I can't remember what, but a whole host of countries were putting athletes in, and there was nothing wrong with them intellectually.
That's right. I think Ecuador was the biggest of the lot, really. You know, so. You know, I mean, is that classed as cheating?
It is cheating, yeah, because, you know what I mean, it's meant for, that's what I mean, it's Paralympics, like, it's meant for people with disabilities.
Yep. But I agree with that.
But then you've got disability Paralympics, and then, to put another one in the mix, you've got the Invicta Games. Mm. So what's all that about then? You know what I mean? Shouldn't there be Paralympics? But no, because they're military personnel, are they superior than disability people? You know what I mean? You've got
that's
two different
point.
Games.
Mm. Another point. Mm. Is that the one where Harry's involved?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Invictus. Yeah, that's the one.
Right. And that's a big games, isn't it?
It is a big games, right? You know what I mean? So you know what I mean? So you've got Paralympics, you've got the Invicta Games.
That's right.
So but both like have disabilities, like class people in it, men
one's
and
for the
women.
Troops, isn't it?
Yeah.
And stuff there.
But one's got troops in, one's got Joe Public and, you know what I mean, Josephine Public in. So if there's got to be some merger to make it one games then.
Fair point.
I mean it was apparently it was the Germans that actually started putting the troops into some kind of club in Germany, and then over here UK, they you know what Germany and England's like. One nation will say that they invented this, and the other nation will come back into it as well. But I think it goes down to the board members, down to the organisations, down to the board basically.
It's money and sponsors
to get it right. Yeah.
Money and sponsors. That's the driving force in today. Sport has gone. Nowadays, it's too lucrative. Athletes like are millionaires now. You know what I mean. Mm. So that's the incentive now. Like you don't want to lose out on big endorsement from like, you know what I mean, Adidas, Nike, and what have you, and stuff.
And you've got to remember how the Olympics started.
Yeah, yeah.
It started and nobody was getting paid.
That's
right. It was to show who was the best at what sport, javelin, you know. And all the different sports, that's what it was based on, your skill. Now, as you quite rightly said, Bushman, now it's about, well, how much money can I make now?
Like
everything else,
because in this Olympic, this is the first Olympics where the winners of gold medals, they got paid $50,000. Just the winners who got a gold medal got $50,000. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. You know what I mean? So if you get a silver or a bronze, you don't get nothing.
I wasn't aware of that.
It's just started in this Olympics, which has gone in Paris. I was amazed when I read it. I thought, what?
Is that just certain nations that?
No, it's just got anybody who won a gold medal, they got $50,000. silver didn't get nothing, bronze didn't get nothing, just gold medal winners.
So how does that work with the Paralympics? I would have thought it would be the same.
No, it's a different organisation.
Different organisation.
Yeah, it's totally different. Under different umbrella.
So I mean, what we're saying then is that, you know, if you've got no underlying condition, then really you're not eligible for the Paralympics, basically. And it's up to the authorities, right, to stamp things out. But there's that much cash involved. When there's cash involved, there's always room for a scandal.
Oh, yes.
And kind of like, you know, people, you know, taking the juice and stuff like that, you know. So, yeah, it's a bit sad, really. But, yeah, it's I'm going to tell on them. It is the Ecuador nation what are kind of like at it more than any other nation. You know what I mean? So, and even like, I mean, Team GB, they're not without any scandals as well. Because you had, in the Esquerinum, you had the Olympic dressage, the woman Charlotte, who was apparently over kind of elaborate in whipping her horse.
Oh, yes, I remember training. That. Yeah.
She got disqualified. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, they're not without it as well. And then back in the days, just going through the big scandals, you had Seoul back in 88 when bronze medal, a winner got his medal taken away from him because he tested positive. Again, some juice was involved in that. Salt Lake back in 2002, Alan Baxter, bronze again. So these people who were cheating, they're not even winning the gold.
Do you know what I mean?
And then Tokyo, 2020, you know what I mean? In the men's relay, tested positive for having juice as well.
Well, you've got the famous one, haven't you? You're Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson, yes, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Big bad Ben.
But who's the biggest drug cheat in all history of all sport? Lance Armstrong, the cyclist, isn't
it? That's true.
It's got to be American, eh? We know what American like to whip the flag, say, we are the best,
that's
America
right.
the brave. Cheats, every one of them. Cheats.
Oh, gosh.
Some
big controversy is kicking off here right now. And just as a reminder as well, we've got the interception. If there's any kind of foul play, just press. Just get in. Yeah. So, you know, that's like, you know, if you hear that, you know that things need to be a little bit more chilled out in the studio. But here we are on Sweet Talking Sport. We've got ever present CV and Bushman is making appearance as we speak right now. I want to jump into this one about Leicester City, because they've found a loophole, haven't they? You know, with this with the fair play stuff. So what happened is that Leicester City, they put in their accounts, end of year accounts, on the 30th of June, and they cease being a Premier League club on the 14th of June. So that was the little loophole what they exposed, and now they've been I think it's quite similar to Everton, who got docked 10. Forest originally got docked 6, but Forest said, hang on a minute, we've complied, we've kind of like showed you everything and this, that and the other. They pleaded, you know, they went down on the knees, and from 6 it went to 4 points deduction. So, you know, do you think that the authorities have kind of like let Leicester City swerve this one? It's like it's a knockout. They played the Joker card. Do you know what I mean? And got away with it. So Forest and Everton surely now must be feeling aggrieved.
Oh, of course they're feeling aggrieved and that, because everybody's getting punished except the big bad wolf who's there, Man City. Let's say, you know, Man City.
Stop it, Charles. Listen, Bushman, stop it. I'm my team you're talking about. No, you know. So stop it. I'm going to have to ring the bell.
The bell just been rung.
Yeah, they were saying, right, this is what they were saying, that now Leicester has found this little loophole. They're saying, can City expose it?
Mm.
That's what they're saying now. Can with Manchester City having the top liars, and this loophole has been found, can City expose it? He says, and is that why Manchester City have been quite confident of saying we've done nothing wrong?
But I think the thing with Leicester, they're saying that, you know, they ceased being a Premier League club because obviously they got relegated, right, didn't yes. they? So they're saying, actually, you know, we put our accounts in, but that period now, what you're talking about, we wasn't a Premier League club, so you can't try us, you can't get us done as a Premier League club because we wasn't a Premier League club.
Which is true.
At the time.
Which is true. That's yeah, a, yeah, it's true.
So, you know, I suppose some of them kind of irregularities from City will get dropped. I think that goes without question because some of them have been duplicated, don't they, over a period of time. So let's just say if one gets dropped, the other one what's been duplicated, that probably will get dropped as well. So instead of what is it, 115?
115.
So instead of 115, it might be just in kind of like, I don't know, for argument's sake, 40 or something like that, or half of that. But I mean, you know, I think Forest and Everton, from looking from their point of view, they're going to be feeling well vexed because they're going to be thinking, you know, how's
this work?
Yeah, how's that? You know, how come they can't deal with this? Like you know. But I mean, all credit to Leicester. If they found the loophole and they got away with it, then fair play. But having said that, you know, it's the Premier League officials what I've got egg on their face now.
But it's sport, and especially Premier League sport. Football is the sport of Britain. Yes. I mean, of the working class man. Yes. And these Premier League clubs, it's more should be integrity. It's not finding loopholes. That's what's on the line.
That's
integrity.
True. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, finding a loophole, it means like it's like going behind somebody's back to find, you know what I mean, and doing it underhanded.
How can I get out of this? Yeah,
you know, but we always said that if you kind of break the rules, then you're going to get busted. But if you bend them slightly, you know, that's kind of all right.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be.
But that's the way it is, isn't it? You know, that's the way it is. You know, because what they've done, they've gone over, I think it's 20 mil or something like that. So that's being wiped out, really. So, you know.
It's a little bit like your accountant, isn't it? Your accountant will find and say, well, look, if you save for your carpet, well, you can use that as well. If you're using your car, yeah, we can. It's a little bit like that, right? Mm. Really, but really, it's for the Premier League and other people to make sure that they don't find them loopholes, to make it watertight, and they haven't made it watertight. That's why Leicester's been able to say, right, you know what, we can use this,
because
we wasn't a Premier League. Do you see where I'm coming from?
I can see, common sense, really.
So, you know, which is what I believe my team, right? That's what they're going to do. I don't believe they're going to get away with 115 charges. There's no way in this world is going to get away with 115 charges. But they will somehow prove that out of 115, a lot, they've got, you know, they can prove it and back it up. It will be then for them to say, right, you know what, right, we can't do this to them. So, right, they may decide to say, right, we're going to fine you.
I think at the end of the day that, you know, City will suffer and get a fine and points deduction, and they'll appeal against a point deduction and it'll get dropped even more.
But you've got to cast the net a bit wider than that, because they've won how many Premier League titles now? Is it five?
We've won six.
I don't even think they'll look at that, to be honest with you, because
they broke the rules though while they were winning.
I get that and I hear that, but the thing is, then you're going to be talking compensation from other clubs, and that's going to open Pandora's box even big. They'll not go that deep.
I think for me, if you're looking at it on that side, the rules were broke off the field, not on the field. The players didn't break any rules. The players went on and did the job, what they're supposed to do. The idea, which is the ending, is to win the Premier League, which is what they did. Now, my argument, I've said to other people, it was up to you. If you're a decent side, you'd beat Man City. You'd come above them. At the end of the day, we've got the, we've acquired the players to win the league. The what we're talking about, the punish, the cheating aspect is what they're saying. I'm using my words carefully. The cheating aspect is off the field. It's an off the field matter. It's not the players. The players haven't cheated. It's an off the field matter.
But the thing is, it's like they're gonna have to deal with it. And it's like, yeah, I hear what you're saying about it's off the field, but it's affected the Premiership. It's affected the integrity of what it stands for, and then if you break the rules, you know there's a consequences for that.
I'm not disputing that.
Which is a fine or you know points deduction.
Yeah, all right.
And they seem to be handing them out like anybody's business these days, isn't it? You know, back in the days, you'd be surprised if teams got docked points.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But now it seems more regular, you know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, it's just going to be a case of how much dosh, you know, it'll be a big sum that'll get dropped. Points, again, big amount, they'll get dropped as well. Not completely, what I'm saying, they'll get reduced, I should say. You know what I mean? From, I don't know, let's say it's 20, get reduced to about 12, something like that. You know, that's just, you know, just putting an argument in there. But, yeah, it doesn't make it right that, yeah, one club can get you the hole and the other two have to suffer.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's gone on far too long with Manchester City. That's the thing. It's gone on far too long.
It has. It's been going. Yeah. And that, just remember, I am a City fan, me. So I've got to admit that it needs sorting.
It does, yeah.
Because as long as
I can't understand why that. You know what I mean? That they've let it go on for 18 so long.
Months. Yeah,
18 months. It's ridiculous.
Over 18 months now. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, because then what they're saying about, you know, teams to balance the book, they're selling the academy
packages,
that's why Chelsea was kind of like pushing Gallagher out of the door because they get 100% profit. Man U, Tomine, do you know what I mean? Pushing him out of the door, 100% profit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's almost like, well, I think when you've got so many rules and stuff, you know, it just seems to open the door and then, you know, people, lawyers or whatever representatives can think, oh yeah, this is a loophole, hey, how about this one? Do you know what I mean? And like CV said, it's like an accountant move, that, isn't it? To look at when your figures go in, you know, end of the month. Actually, we cease trading from being a Premiership club on the 14th. Yeah, we're in there. You know, let's put this under the nose and let them deal with it.
Ending of the day, right, that is what they pay the lawyers for. These lawyers are not getting little £20, you know. these lawyers are on £100,000. £100,000, right, to do the job. So they will find any loophole to say, well, look, this is what happened here.
But it's totally wrong, because once again, it's going beyond football, beyond sport.
I can't disagree. Isn't it? I'm not going to disagree with that.
The bottom line again is like that: sponsorship, money, revenue. It's beyond football now, and as I say, that's the problem now with all sport now. It's getting beyond a joke that they're taking sport now and packaging it in such a way that it's like a media entity. Football, rugby, athletics, what have you. There's money behind it, and that's the root of all evil, and that's where
it always has been the root of all evil. I totally agree with you.
And
there's
just
one.
All of a sudden all these like nations like Saudi Arabia have jumped on the bandwagon to whitewashing all their like human rights abuses by going into all these sports events, like football clubs, golf,
boxing,
and stuff that, boxing and stuff like that, isn't it? They said, oh yeah, we can jump on that bandwagon now, and it's money. Money.
They've got the cash, they've got the environment, you know what I mean? It's kind of like tempting the top players and that, you know,
even though
some, you know, minority have turned their back on it. But, you know, I tell you what, I bet they've had some kind of serious thought about it.
Oh, God, they have. Yeah. Well, you know, what's that Liverpool player what went out and come back like? Is it playing
Henderson?
Henderson, yeah, isn't it? He went out there, isn't it? The temperature was too hot for him.
Is that
no crowd, yeah. Yeah, no crowd, yeah.
There was no atmosphere.
It was just too hot for him to play because he was like really pale skin and stuff like that. It was just too hot for him to run around.
Get bun up like.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. And that's why like, he's now playing over in the Netherlands.
Yeah, Dutch side now. Yeah. Wow. But when you think about a certain player who's just gone, Mr. Tony, and he's getting 400, and I think it's 430 something thousand a week.
And you know why he's gone over there? It is a gambler, isn't it? Money, isn't it? Yeah, money to fritter away, Tony, isn't it?
He's kind of got to behave on that kind of level, because out there you're talking about 350 lashes.
Chop him hand off.
They're different out there. I mean, kind of sticking with Tony, you know, can certain characters spoil a whole bunch? So, because I picked up on this, Arteta considered bringing Tony into Arsenal, but he's basically saying that he'll kind of spoil the bunch. That's what Arteta was saying. You know what I mean?
Did you hear that? On
a level. Well, you have to do kind of little research on thing, innit? And see what's going off down there. So,
okay.
Saying that Arteta apparently put off by signing Tony over the squad's chemistry. He said that he's going to spoil it up. So, what I'm thinking now is like, they was probably thinking, do you know, is it going to be Tony or is it going to be Sterling? You know what I mean? They must have had them little pockets of discussion behind the scenes, because, you know, they probably even would have said, okay, what's going to happen if we take Tony and Sterling? Is that going to spoil up the chemistry? So Arteta knows Sterling better than Tony, right? So he's gone for a safer bet. Even though they're still looking for an out-and-out striker, you know what I mean, out there. But you're just saying, you know, I mean, whether... Obviously, Tony didn't do his career any good when, you know, he was, you know, betting on his boys to lose or win or whatever in the gambling shops. He probably didn't do his career any good when he kind of, like, bubbled up on Southgate in the Euros and cussed him off for not putting him on earlier on. So Arteta's probably looked at that and thinking, do you know what? Do I want somebody to spoil the chemistry in my changing rooms?
I'm just going to stir the pot. Yeah. He just wants it nice
that's
and easy at the
saying.
Moment. Like, he's got a good little thing going.
Yeah, that's what I'm
and,
saying.
And Tony's got the ability, but he's got, like, some negativity there with him, which is undesirable in a team environment. That's what it is.
You couldn't really imagine Tony and Sterling in that Arsenal, kind of like, because they seem kind of like nice boys. Arsenal, don't they?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? They seem kind of... They haven't really got, like... You know, like, back in the days, they used to have, like, Adams and Ball and outspoken, kind of roughneck wide them. Yeah. But now it's, like, more kind of, like, on a different kind of, like, level. Do you know what I mean? Yes, boss. You know, they all toe the line now, don't they?
Yeah.
So he's got it nice. So I can understand somebody saying, why, if he comes into our changing rooms... That chemistry, I'm not quite sure about that. You know what I mean? And that's probably what's cost Tony a move there.
Well,
yeah, it's probably
cost
him. If
you look at Ivan, Tony's a good player.
100%.
People are looking for good strikers who can do the job. He can do the job. Mm. But yeah, in this last transfer market... No one really is coming too tough for him. No one really has really come into. That's the reason why he's took the opportunity to now to go across to Saudi Arabia and make what 14 million in one season.
Because he's only 27, so it's good for his career. 28, money. 28. Where is he?
There was some talk about because he's gone across there. Has that now spoilt his England chances? Has it now spoilt his English career? And I said, he's not business about his English career.
No.
He don't business about it. Because at the end of the day, right, he's looking calm, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's looking the
security.
Money. If you're getting, if
security
you're
comes first.
If you're getting $14 million for 10 months.
Yeah.
Kicking a ball.
Or you're looking at a cap.
Yeah.
To put on.
Yeah. But you just got to look at his character. His character's flawed because it's gambling.
Mm.
Yeah. And like at the end of the day, like with him, like money is his incentive.
It is.
That's it. It's money is incentive. Like that's why he's gone for that move. Or else he would have said no.
It's not to be sniffed at, is it? Really?
It's not to be sniffed at.
Because I mean, if I was in that situation, I'd say, "Give me the pen."
Yeah,
I wouldn't even go up there and have a look. I said, "Give me the pen."
He was on what, 48 grand a week, right? And the next minute, they're licking you with a 430-something thousand a week.
Yeah. Crazy.
You're not arguing with that. Yeah, you're saying, as you quite rightly said, yo, pass me that pen. Pass me that pen. Make me just write out my name on it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And as I said, when I listened to the other talk, sport thing, they were saying, well, do you really think that has kind of like stopped his English career? And I said, and other people have rang in and said, he's not bothered.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with that.
He's not bothered about it.
Can't be, can he?
No.
Can't be. Because if it's about, how much is he getting a week, you said?
438,000 apparently.
So if you put if you put that on the table, right?
A week.
And an England cap.
Yeah.
There's no comparison.
There's no comparison whatsoever.
There's no comparison to that, is there?
Remember, he's got a cap.
And he's got
a cap.
And don't forget as well, with the experience what he's just had with Southgate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With him kind of, it's like, say, are you going to put me on or not? And then give him seconds. Do you know what I mean? So, there's no comparison.
As somebody else said on the other rival station, they said, right, well, you've got to look at this. He thinks to himself, I come here, but I know I'm not getting on as long as Harry Kane's there. Mm. I'm not getting on. He said, he's got Harry Kane, he's got Wilkes, Watkins from Aston Villa. He's got other people all in front of him. So at any later day, he's not bothered really, right? And like I've just said to you,
you can't
blame him. He's got a cap already.
Yeah.
He can say to his youth, yo, see my cap there? 10 minutes, but I made whole heap. I pass out the ball, my man, lick ball in the net and everything's cool.
Oh, gosh. I mean, we've mentioned Tony, we've mentioned England. We'll stick with England because Carsley's that took over from Southgate now.
Who is it?
Carsley.
Carsley, like toilet.
I was almost gonna
hit the bell.
But I thought, it's gone off. So, I mean, Carsley, exactly, because he's only been kind of assistant and caretaker and stuff like that. He's not kind of like, managing an outright club in other toppers, so CV would say. I remember Carsley back in 2013 when he was at Bramall Lane with David Weir, and they lasted 13 games.
Is it? Okay.
And Carsley was out. Yeah. 13 games when Weir come to Bramall Lane. You know what I mean? Carsley was Weir's right-hand man. But, you know, what he would say in his defence, he'd say, well, look at my record for England under 20, under 21.
Yeah, right, which is a good one.
He's done the job. Is Carsley ready to step up in that big job?
I don't really deal with England, to be fair. I've got to be honest. So I don't know if I can really talk about
your opinion is worth everything, Pandy Shawman. Talk up, yes.
I don't know. He might be. I mean, he's got the pedigree. He's won what the Euros. He's won the Euros.
Yeah, I think what England are looking for now is continuity. From Southgate, they realise that they got a golden chance. They were up there. He did actually bring them on, Southgate, but yet that final hurdle, he couldn't get over it. And they've seen that. Well, we've took somebody from inside. With Southgate, he's done it so far. Let's go back again to the same water, the same well, and take the same person. That's why they've gone out with.
Well, it's kind of like a safe bet at the moment, isn't it? And it's kind of like
financially safe as well. They're not.
Yeah, they're not spending big money out on him. Like, I mean, until they throw him in, see how he does, and if he does do something with the team exceptional, then they're going to give it to him full time. But if he slips, falls into some doo doo, then they've lost nothing.
I mean, you know, Carsley has been at, is just looking at his managerial career, right? So he's been at Coventry, caretaker, Brentford, caretaker and assistant, Birmingham, caretaker and assistant, England under 21, assistant, England under 20, manager, England under 21, manager. So
basically, yeah, they're just using him for continuity. Yeah. That's what they've used him for. Like, they're just taking him and seeing what he can do. If he messes it up, all very well, then they've still got time to look for somebody with a name behind him, with a reputation like that.
And I suppose that the games, what he's got coming up, Finland ranked 63rd in the world and Greece ranked 54th. They're his next two games. So he's not really going to do much kind of damage, really, there.
I thought you were playing Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, but these games will be coming up later on.
What's that? What's that?
That is in the the National League. League games.
Okay. Because the England are in the second tier, aren't they? They're not in the top tier. That's right, isn't it?
So it's just going to pick up the pieces, really, isn't it? So it's not going to do any damage, really.
That's right.
Is it? Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So is there another league underneath that? Is it? Could you get relegated again from what is it, the second league or whatever? I don't follow it, so I don't know.
I'm not sure whether he can get relegated from that, but you know, there's only one way they can go, and that should be up
at that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So if he don't come out of that, why he's going to be struggling, really? I mean, he's created a bit of noise because Kyle Walker, you know, is not in the squad. Kyle said, "Do you know what? Yeah, that Carsley's done all right with that one. It's a good call." But I think you'd expect somebody like Walker to say that. He's just kind of playing it down, really. And I suppose his fitness is not really on par at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
What's his age, though? Is he 33?
Yeah, something like that.
34.
And that's what, you know, I mean, a bit leggy now, isn't it? That's the thing.
He's obviously looking at youth, isn't he?
That's right.
He's obviously looking at youth. So, but he needs to blend the youth in with the experienced pros as well, doesn't
he? He does.
Because,
he does.
You know, you can learn from watching as well, obviously, from sort of participating. Yeah.
But while they're in the second tier, I think that's why he's taken on, like, the younger players to just, like, blood them and see how they go. Mm-hmm. Without the experience level, like Walker and such.
And the thing as well is obviously the younger players, he knows them well, doesn't he?
That's right.
You know,
like
Gibbs White is in there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because they come from the under 21s,
didn't
they?
Yeah, he knows their character and how they play for him.
It's a bit of a safe kind of like behind it, really. Grealish, I noticed he was back in type of stuff, wasn't he?
Stones in there as well.
Stones, did I see Stones? I think so.
Because I thought he had called Walker up, but because to be fair, Walker hasn't really played much for us because he's been playing Rico Lewis, and Rico's been called up.
Yeah, Rico's in there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, well, it's to remain to be seen. You know what I'm not going to say the new boys, new to the senior squad, but not new to the environment of England. And like you said, CV, I'm not really kind of in at them. Do you know what I mean? So it's only what I've kind of been picking up. But I'm not sure if you guys have heard about this one. Just dipping back into the Olympics, that Rebecca. Chetese or something.
Rebecca Cheptegei from Uganda, got set alight by an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, kind of bad vibes.
That's
that
right.
It,
all our condolences go out to her family and friends, because 100%. No person should be. And the thing is, the boyfriend, that evil man, he didn't get born up as well.
Did he get born up?
He's in the hospital in a serious condition. But he should get, once he does recover, if he does recover, they should burn him properly. he did us evil.
Yeah, that's
out of order to do that.
Definitely. And do you know what it was over?
Land. That's it, yeah.
And probably had some kind of discussion. He probably might have said, well, aren't you going to put my name on the land? And she said, well, show me your dollars.
Yeah.
And it's probably started spiral out of control, you know what I mean, to some kind of evil vibes, what he's been doing. And that's really sad, that. You know what I mean?
Because she came 45th in the Paris Olympic Games in the marathon. 45th, so she was a decent runner.
Yeah.
And she was the main breadwinner for the family out in Uganda.
The Olympics just gone.
Paris Olympics gone. 45th. That's some good going. She's a good long-distance runner. Mm. Now she's dead.
What a life. Yeah. What a life she's had.
Cut short in a prime, like, you know what I mean? Because as they get older and older, for marathon running, they get even better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, rest in peace.
Yeah, definitely. Hear that from Bush. And, you know, condolences go out to everybody who knows it out there, you know, from Sweet Talking Sport. Listening to the guy called Bush, and I've got CV here. G has just been given leave after, you know, kind of like it showed some kind of aggression last week. So, yeah, you know, G. Yeah, you know, hopefully you'll be back on here next week. We're talking to the solicitors. We're talking to the solicitors.
To ring bell on him 2-3 times. Ring bell on him.
Yeah, and I didn't think that was like G. You know, kind of quiet guy and this, that, and the other. And you know, yeah, he just got a bit out of hand. And you know, the director said, "Listen, boy, just all a five." Yeah.
So he's got a red card then, has he?
But hopefully he'll be back next week to join in the fun. So yeah, G gets a mention. Boxing, Daniel Dubois and Anthony Joshua, they face off on 21st of this month at Wembley, and that is going to be a sellout. I don't know if your guys actually saw it on Face Off. Similar to Johnny's show, the gloves are off. This guy does the Face Off, and Dubois and Anthony Joshua was on there. Obviously, they're squared up again and all that kind of stuff.
Pantomime stuff.
Yeah, Joshua was saying, hey, don't disrespect me, you know what I mean? And it kind of flared up like that, and a bit of testosterone, a bit of camera stuff as well going off there. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's going to make the punter say, do you know what? I can't wait to see them two boys in the ring. You know, but Dubois, he didn't even really win his belt. It got vacant, didn't it? Can he retain? Can he retain it? Can Joshua be the third time world champion, basically?
Both of them have got similar styles. They're not, you know what I mean? They've not got quick hands and that. Both plodders. No skill. Both of them haven't got skill, but AJ's just got the edge because of that experience. He has been world champion.
If AJ was here, would you say that? Would you say that? Oh, yes, I would.
Yes, and that. Oh, you can, remember, you can only bang me out once.
Hey, Bushman, no. Whoa.
I must admit, I kind of agree with Bushman. I think AJ, he's got the power,
but
with all due respect, when he's come up against people who can move, and that hasn't really helped him. It hasn't really helped him. Do you know what I mean?
And when he fought that Mexican guy, like this, you know what I mean, the Mexican guy we lost to.
Yeah. Is it Lopez?
You know what I mean, like that roly poly guy.
Yeah.
And the second fight, what did Joshua do? Like, because he didn't want to lose again, he boxed, didn't he? Like, kept him at range.
He was scared.
Instead of going, he's got, you know what I mean? He's 6'5", 6'6". He had all that power, that physique. He's fighting, and that roly-poly guy came in even more roly-poly. And he's like, and then all Joshua did, like, was box him because he was so frightened of being hit again and losing the plot and getting beaten. So he boxed to win. And that, so he hasn't learned his craft. Boxing is the art of not getting hit. And AJ and all these people are coming up through, like, they've not learnt the trade.
But them, I mean, talking heavyweights, innit? Do you know what I mean?
No, but you still can have skill, isn't it? Like, you're having
I agree with that, but, you know, they say, you know, to give a good shot, you have to take one to. You know what I mean? Because,
no,
because, you know?
What's the heavyweight gone to now, isn't it? Like, we had Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Smokey Joe. We had the guys that are coming up now. They're super heavyweights. Like, they're like the freaks, aren't they?
Yeah.
Look at, you compare AJ and that them Russian two brothers and all the other
Klitschko.
Ones. Klitschko. And all that. To Muhammad Ali, Smokey Joe, Ken Norton and all them. Mm. These guys are monsters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not like heavyweights.
Yeah.
And so that's why they can't have that skillful thing. All they've got is power, strength, and they haven't learned the craft. Where Muhammad Ali, he was like, what is it, 14 stone, 15 stone, still light on his feet, couldn't move, duck and weave. These guys that are coming up now, like,
I think
they're just big, powerful.
I think nearest person to them,
they're looking to stick one on the chin, aren't they?
So they haven't learned the trade.
I think somebody like, if you look at somebody like Lennox Lewis, he's near, but he still had the movement.
That's right. That's
he was big.
Big, but he had movement.
But he still had the movement.
Good hands.
That's right. He still.
Everything. Yeah. Whereas, like with Joshua, like he's like just a little bit better than Bruno, and that's saying isn't it?
Yeah.
Bruno, a nice guy, but Bruno, like, was a donkey. Let's be honest about that. Like, he was a donkey.
I agree with that. I agree.
And AJ's just a little bit
Bush
better.
Bushman's been back in here for 45 minutes.
I know, and he's destroying it.
Already Bush.
Yeah, he's destroying
one,
like,
man.
He's destroying like exit missile, isn't it? Whoa.
No, but you've got to be honest, like, Bruno, I can remember when he first came out, because I looked at him. Bruno first came on the card and looked at him, and I thought, is this guy like a bodybuilder? Because that's what they went for. Big
that's
guy,
right, yeah,
full
yeah, yeah,
of
yeah.
muscles.
I remember that.
Great
they
guy.
They were talking about him like he was a bodybuilder.
That's it. But that's all he had. That's what they were going. They just taught him how to, like, stand there and box. But they didn't teach him how to box skillfully. So when he come up to a certain level and he's like, he got hurt badly.
It was like, my man, is it Mason? Gary Mason. Gary Mason, because he used to say he was like a remake of Frank, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, I still thought Gary had a little bit more movement than Frank.
He did a little bit.
Do you know what I mean? He had a little bit more movement than Frank.
Mm.
And for some reason, the boxing in England, they're going down the route of finding big guys, like these super big guys, teaching them a bit of boxing and flinging them in, and like hopefully they've got that big power, like, to just bang somebody out and that. Whether you've got to, like, have like skill, movement, hand speed, be able to like weight your weight and be confident in the ring. Where AJ, that's the thing with AJ, he hasn't got confidence. When he gets tagged, all of a sudden you can see him, he loses the plot, he doesn't know what to do, he just grins. When he gets hit, you know what I mean, he smiles, he doesn't know what to do, how to cover up and survive, because he's not been taught boxing.
I mean, there's a bit of time to go before the 21st, but, you know, I'm sure we're going to jump on this one again. But, like, you know, like I said, I saw the face-off on the box the other day. Did you see it?
I thought... Dubois.
Yeah.
I thought that was definitely pantomime.
Because
when the guy held him and he said, no, let go. And then I've never really ever seen my man, what you call him, AJ, go on about, do you want me to dash this chair in at your feet? Where's all that coming from? Where's that for?
Sell tickets and hype the fight.
Because if that was for real, Table would have gone.
Yeah.
What's that heavyweight? Where's that? It's a war.
I know you're talking. He's a good fight. He gets beat quite a lot, but he's been. He fights a lot.
He's got heart. Chisora. He picks up tables and chairs and he throws them. Chisora.
Yeah,
he always goes war. But once again, like, big guy, it takes too many licks, though. Mm. Isn't he? I mean, he's saying war. Yeah. War for what? Mm, because he hasn't learned this. It's trade. It's so true. He goes in there, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, he gets his money. Yeah. But he's getting beaten up as well, taking too many punches.
I agree with
not
that.
Not saying that, like, there's not a lot upstairs anyway. So, just, like, he's not got a lot to lose.
I just thought. And then there's my yard man, isn't there? Who always wants to fight AJ. My yard man. Oh, gosh. He always wants to fight AJ all the time.
Has he fought him already?
He's fought him in the past, yeah. He's a yard man. And he goes,
I was going to say Chisora, but...
No, he's not Chisora. He's a yard man.
White.
Dillian.
Dillian White.
He just wants a payday again.
Have you seen him, though, then? He's already got something emote lean up one side, isn't it? Like,
listen, my man is yard man. He was man... You know, I'm
his mother must have beat him with the frying pan, making Mo lean up like that, innit?
He used to go. Oh, he's gone on with some things in.
But once again, he's a big guy, not been taught boxing. All he goes in there like he's like war, and you're thinking like he would learn to say that. Like, yeah, I've lost when I fought that way. Let me change it up, mix it up a bit. But they don't. He's just coming back again with the same. You know what I mean? Same stew.
I mean, that De Bruyne, he fought, what you call it, Usyk, didn't he? Mm, he put up a good. He put up a good show against you. In fact, he could have won it. To be fair, right? So I'm thinking, well, if you can put up that show against Usyk and you come against AJ, to be fair. He stands a chance. He's got a punching chance. Did he fight the Chinese guy? Was it him who fought him?
I'm not sure.
No, that was the other guy, like, isn't it? Because he lost twice against him.
Because he dealt with him.
It's going to be an interesting one. And like I said, I'm sure we're going to touch on this again. Want to jump into this little story here. I don't know if you've heard, the Australian swimming coach, right? He got sacked because he was betting on, but he said that he wanted the South Korea man to actually win. And people were saying, what? You know what I mean? So he's kind of like, I mean, could you have somebody like that in your corner? You know what I mean? You're coaching your guys. You want your guys to win well. And okay, listen, if you want somebody to win, that might be something what you set to yourself or to your close people then. But you won't go public and say, you know, I hope that person wins. Do you know what I mean? Because like down under, they were going absolutely crazy. The person who wanted to win was Kim Woo Ming. Yeah. Mm. At the Paris Olympics, their 400 meter freestyle. So the Aussie kind of like also had, there were two other Aussie swimmers in that kind of race, but yet he's calling out Woo Ming. You know, I really hope he can win. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just thinking, what kind of message are you sending out to the people who you're coaching? You need to believe in yourself.
Like integrity within sport, isn't it?
You need to believe in yourself. I think it's crazy.
I mean, it's like for the Australia, he should be rooting for them. That shouldn't even be in his like concept to be actually his mind to say like I want South Korea or somebody else to beat him, because that's his job, that's his role. He's getting big money to do that, to be the coach, to gain gold medal, silver or bronze, and then you want another country and another team, somebody else to win. Australia did right, boot him out.
Yeah. I mean, the top man said, you know, there's going to be some kind of consequences for his actions on that. You know what I mean? But you know, that's like, say, you know, if we were playing for the same football team, playing against a different side, and then the coach is saying, well, you know, I hope they win.
It's just the same thing what Ivan Toney was doing, isn't it? Yeah. Basically, well, if you think about it.
There you go. Yeah.
Exactly the same scenario, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely madness, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, going into the last 5 minutes of this kind of like show, we normally get like caught out and stuff. Obviously, the football kind of like calendar comes to a little mini break because of the internationals coming up. just want to touch upon a topic what I haven't really covered for a while, American football. That returns back to London at Tottenham Hotspur's ground on the 6th of October. Any American football fans in the studio?
Nope.
Why not?
Because it's not my scene.
It's too long and it's too complex. And plus, like, you've got big men like fairies, like in helmets and body armour. Do our rugby players have that?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Tell them, Bushman. Yeah.
To be fair, it's a completely different game. You know what I mean?
How so?
Right. Well, I've played American football back in the 80s.
Yeah, I know that. We know that.
Fishers and all them guys, you know, Clem Brock, you know, rest in peace, Bernie, rest in peace, Sam Fisher, rest in peace, Tor, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, the game, average game, lasts over three hours.
But it's the same ball what they use in rugby union and rugby league, and they wear pads and helmets and this and that.
It's because you can hit them from various angles, and you can't hit them like they do in American football. So I mean, I've kind of looked smutty in the head, and I tell you what, if I didn't have that helmet on,
I'm
telling you. So do you know all them kind of pads and what they've got? It is needed because the contact is a lot different. I think for people who don't really, I mean, basically, it's just like you've got four chances to move the ball 10 yards. Them yards, they call them downs. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So, it could be 1 and 10. First chance, 10 yards. If they fail and they go back and, you know, the quarterback gets sacked, then it becomes, 2 and 15. Second chance, 15 yards, but, and so on and so
the
forth.
The thing, what it doesn't work for England, it's far too long. That's the crux of the matter. Why it doesn't work over here.
You've got to, if you understand the game, if you're open to it, then you kind of become perceptive and you get to know the teams and the quarterbacks and what team can do what, who's kind of out there for, you know, the Super Bowl and stuff. But, you know, it's not for everybody because of the commercials and the half times and the stoppages, it's a great razzle dazzle show
to go and see ones. But for a regular basis, like a football league and stuff like that, in England it just wouldn't work because we've got a short attention span.
Well, do you know what? It does work because at Wembley it's packed out.
For one-offs, though.
They're not one-off. They have seasons down there. Do you know what I mean? I'm telling you, season tickets are 300 odd and this and the other. The lowest price, I should say, at Tottenham is 68, so the highest is 196. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that is just for a one game. You know what I mean? Or their season tickets. It's big, you know what I mean? In London and stuff, they'll fill Spurs ground, they fill Wembley. And them teams, like, they look forward to coming over here. And they bring the fans too, and that's the Jets and the Vikings. But like I said, it's not for everybody. I played it for a few years. I loved the game. I enjoyed it. I can get into it. Doesn't really matter what team's playing, I can get into it quite easy.
That's fair enough, because it's something that you was interested in.
Yeah, 100%.
But in the British psyche, it's just not our thing, it's an American sport.
Yes, it is American sport, but I disagree with you that it's not our thing, because why would the stadiums be at capacity if it wasn't our thing?
North-South divide, why isn't it up north?
Because they haven't really got the facilities. You're talking, the
facility.
What I'm saying is that Spurs Stadium compared to Old Trafford, you're talking about modern day time stadium.
And
Wembley. Therefore, that's why it's down there.
Yeah, I get that.
Also, as well, if you're talking about people coming over from the States and stuff like that, you're looking at the airports and stuff that they're down there. It makes sense, really.
You could just come to Manchester
and then travel down. You know what I mean?
They could call it Manchester. City's ground. It's going to be 60 odd thousand.
Yeah.
But what Spurs hold?
60,000
But look at the facilities.
60,000 City's ground is tapas.
Well, why haven't they hold him there then?
Because nobody's padded
nobody's interested in it. That's
nobody's not padded bolted.
I don't think that is really the nobody's answer. Nobody's padded bolted. I don't think that is the answer. Do you know what I mean?
It's down London for a reason.
It's like American sport. It's over exaggerated, over hyped. What is it now? What's that game they've got? Baseball? We call it Rounders Girls Game.
Another thing, Bush. Where I'm with that. The World Series. It's only them who play.
I know.
How can it be World Series?
World Series, I know.
It's only them what play. Them and Canada what play. Yeah. How the hell can it be World Series? World Series is with everybody. World Cup. You know, see, World Cup. African, yeah. Asia, everybody's in it. But World Series. That's where that. That thing there.
Once again, American tripe.
And that's it. So we've had the bell go off a few times in it. It's 1859 CV Bushman. It's been great having.